with the change in the autumn weather that we're experiencing right now, nostalgia is really quick to set in for me. The cooler temperatures, the unique way that the light illuminates the environment with a diffused, kind of washed out light when the sun is lower in the sky, all of those trigger a nostalgia, memories, if you will, certain feelings. It all brings back those memories of the age of transformation for me of when I was going to college. But to be more specific, in the second half of my undergraduate years, I was a transfer student. I had gone from a small school to a much, much larger school at the University of Wisconsin at Madison, where there are about 40,000 students. It's a large school. The one that I had transferred from had about, I think, 2,000 students, to give you a comparison. So it was a big change and a fiercely independent move for me. None of the friends that I had made in the first 2 years of college would be there. And being a transfer student, I didn't have the benefit to take advantage of all of the orientation programs that are designed for new freshman students who are new to the university. There was no easing into things. I had to figure out a lot on my own. I threw myself into the deep end of the pool, and I was excited for it. I remember the first 2 weeks of my first semester there being particularly overwhelming. On top of experiencing the experience of being on a campus that was unfamiliar, with people whom I didn't know, in a city that I had only lived in for a couple of days, and I had a full schedule of very challenging subjects and buildings that I hadn't identified yet. There's a lot to learn. And the fall weather that we're experiencing right now brings back a lot of those uncomfortable feelings of working through the circumstances, sitting in classrooms while struggling to keep up with the lessons being taught. It was then that I realized that the discomfort that made me squirm with vulnerability was necessary. It was important. I wasn't going to school to take classes about things that I already knew. I was there to learn. I was supposed to be uncomfortable and ask questions. Confusion was a starting point from which I would progress and grow. That weakness and inferiority that I felt made space for growth, made space for learning. The only way that you can learn is if you have an acknowledgement that you need to learn, that you don't know something. There's inherent discomfort in that. It makes one squirm. And that is the whole point that I want to talk about today. That we must acknowledge our shortcomings and our weaknesses so that we can make space for God to be in our lives to help us out. God warns those who believe that they have a need of nothing, that they don't know, that they are poor, blind, and naked. That's a quote from Revelation about the church of Laodicea that might be familiar to you. God also warns those that think they stand to take heed lest they fall, to not have that false sense of confidence, that false sense of security in believing we have it all figured out, that we don't need to be uncomfortable. That is the beginning of our demise. As soon as we're comfortable, we should be on guard. I'd like to start in Psalm 22 and read verses 1 through 11. This is a psalm of David in which he expresses feelings of discomfort in his life. Psalm 22, beginning in verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted you. They trusted, and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man. Worms squirm, don't they? Ha, had to get that in there. Reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me to trust while on my mother's breasts. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Now this psalm is one that expresses such strong human vulnerability, such weakness and pain and agony. We don't know the specific circumstances here as David was writing these words, but he's clearly responding to a miserable situation that he is in. And that might also be something that we can relate to at times, where we might feel that God is far off and that we are helpless. In the editorial that Mr. David Harris wrote last week, he talks about that feeling of God being far off, but the fact is so much to the contrary. In this psalm, we see that God is right there and that he is to be trusted. He is available for help. He does bring us out of those circumstances. When we are at our weakest point, that is when we must turn to God in trust, knowing that he is going to help us grow. Jesus Christ, he uttered some of these very same words in his suffering as he was about to die. He was human. He relates to us because he was human. Now, as he was suffering in those final moments, he became sin for man. And that's from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, if you want to look that up. And there was a moment when God did forsake him. He turned his back on Jesus Christ because he was sin. Jesus Christ was carrying all those terrible sins of mankind. And we read that God could not handle that. He was of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. So he had to forsake Jesus Christ in that moment. Jesus was in his greatest moment of need, and he cried out to God for help. We know that that moment of being forsaken, that moment of being completely vulnerable, was only momentary because God the Father resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead, and Jesus became the Savior of mankind. But he had to go through that human, very vulnerable, weak state of emotion, that weak state of being that we might relate to. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 12, and I'll read verses 8 through 10. This is Paul reflecting on his trials, that he had gone before God in prayer, asking for relief. And this is how he responds. 2 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 8. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul's weakness was very apparent to him. He had this agonizing pain that would not depart, and it was discouraging. But his weakness opened up space for God to work in his life. Let's go to Habakkuk 3 and read verses 17 through 19. Habakkuk 3, beginning in verse 17. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on the high hills. This passage describes several problems of poverty and even apparent famine. Things not working out. Are things ever not working out in our lives? Yet what is the reaction that we read here? Is it self-pity? Is it hopelessness? Is it giving up? Is it giving up on God? No. Not even close. Those problems are handed over to God. And the acknowledgement of God being the source of strength is made. God is my strength. God is your strength. He is there for you. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 1 and read verses 26 through 30. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 26, it should all be familiar to you. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Why do you think that not many wise, mighty, or noble are called? Why do you think that it's so hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven? The reason is that they naturally don't believe that they have much need for God in their lives if they are thinking with carnal minds. They think they've got it all worked out. There's no space for God in their lives because they have no need. It is the weak who need God to strengthen them, who acknowledge that they need strength. We are those who need God. We are weak, brethren, at times, but we are strong with Jesus Christ living and working in us. As emotionally draining, as mentally taxing, as physically difficult as it is to go through stressful situations, when we feel that we are at the end of our rope, feeling hopeless, even though those circumstances push us against our boundaries, pressing us so that we feel like we cannot move, that is the place where the only thing we can do is rely on God for strength. And that is a very good thing.